From the newsroom of PCJ Radio International, this is Focus Asia Pacific. I'm Keith Powell. Today's program, we're calling No Reporters, No Studios, The Response from China. We're going to be hearing directly from citizens of the most populous country on the planet using the recording power of smartphones. The contributors are normal working people, students telling stories about the world of work in China, about their relationships and their influence of family members on their lives. Hear how an online gamer nearly derailed his education, how a young worker in a big company struggled with full-time employment, about coping with bipolar disorder, and how one woman's love for a Northern Irish actor has opened up new horizons. The program was produced and compiled by Howard Zhang.
I'm Howard Zhang, and this is The Response China. It's the most populous country in the world, nearly 1.4 billion people. And according to the Chinese government, more than half the country can access the internet on a mobile device. We wanted to hear what they had to say. Using social media, we asked for stories directly from the people. Stories that could be sent to us using just the recording power of a smartphone. We were amazed by what we received. We asked for stories about work, about education, about family life, and how people in China view their futures. And we weren't disappointed. Get ready to hear stories about a life-saving grandpa, a family feud over a business choice, and a love story about finding your voice. But we will begin with a recording about learning English in a surprising way. Our contributor calls herself Freya, and for this, you need to know that Colin Morgan is well known in the United Kingdom as the lead actor in the TV show Merlin.
Hello, I'm a 33 years old Chinese girl. After graduating from college, I went into a state-owned enterprise. My daily work is boring, but last year, I suddenly fell in love with the Northern Ireland actor Colin Morgan. You know, I have never been fascinated by any star, but love suddenly came, and even in reality, there is no such feeling. I love him because since he was 5 years old, he has been adhering to his dream. He knows what he wants to and works hard for it. So since last year, I spend 4 hours learning English every day. Through dictionary, I look up my words one by one, had finished The Tempest of Shakespeare and The Deep Profundis of Oscar Wilde. I know nothing about grammar. My friend said that I had become a different person. In the future, I hope to speak fluent English. Can really go to the West End to enjoy a stage play. Like Colin Morgan, to do what makes me happy. It's amazing, and I really think it's never too late to change.
That was Colin Morgan, superfan Freya, getting to grips with Shakespeare and Oscar Wilde. China's a long way from Northern Ireland, but her dedication to the actor has given her some new language skills and some travel plans. The next clip is from a woman who wanted to talk about bipolar affective disorder and how it influences her life. She works in education, and her condition makes that a real challenge. In this clip, she tells us about how work can become almost overwhelming.
I'm 26 years old now, and I was diagnosed with BPAD 8 years ago. I always tend to receive the negative messages from the outside world, and this kind of destructive way of receiving messages really can disrupt people. Since graduation, I got a job, and I quit it, and I go on another one and I quit it so frequently just because I get upset too easily, I get angry too easily, and I get into tricky situation easily, and in turn, I get judged too easily. People think I'm unqualified because my stamina, my energy is lost so easily just out of a minor mistake, like a student made a complaint to the reception desk, and I just feel my value is completely judged or lost, and then I have to ask for a few days leave from my boss, which is completely unfeasible. So I lost my job, and now I can only work as a part-timer because I really can't handle the stress of 5 days to seven work.
We've been in contact with this contributor. She explained to us that the reason she recorded the message was to speak up about mental health. She thinks that people with the conditions like this are underrepresented. And by talking about it, she hopes to change that. Here is how she puts it.
I'm not speaking for myself solely. My voice is actually one of the few voices from a minor group in the society who are now asking for a bigger voice.
We'll hear a little bit more about her condition later and how it makes dealing with the problems of work so difficult. You're listening to The Response China on the BBC World Service. These are stories sent directly from people in China. No studios or reporters. Everything you're hearing has been recorded and sent to us using smartphones. Several of the stories we received were about the influence of family members on our lives. In the next story, without fuss and without drama, a big sister comes to the rescue.
我出生在一个贫穷的家庭，但不是一个贫穷的地区。
I was born in a poor family, but not a poor region. My parents didn't receive good education. I have a sister who is 3 years elder. I also had my beloved grandpa. When I was very young, my family was in financial difficulty, but I was happy. I didn't have computer games or TV, but my father made toys for me. Wooden bow and arrows, wooden horses. My father is a carpenter who raises our family by farming and making farming tools. By the time I went to junior high school, my sister chose to go to a vocational high school so that she could go to work earlier. I understand that my sister was doing this to save money for my education. For that reason, I was able to enter junior high school easily. I didn't get very good scores in my secondary school graduation exams, but I was lucky to get admission from a private senior high school. My family were delighted. During the second term, my grandpa passed away. I missed him very much. I was an adolescent, and I was rebellious. And I became addicted to online games. I played truant, refused to do homework, and my academic record plummeted. Against the wishes of my family, I dropped out of school. I was 16 years old, so I went to work in a restaurant. One school term passed in this way. My sister asked me if I wanted to go back to school. I hesitated. In my work, there were always people looking down upon me because I came to do a job at such a young age. So after considering it for a few days, I decided to go back to study. In the end, I found that my sister had kept in touch with my class teacher, who as a result kept my place in the school. After I went back to school, it seemed that my class fellows treated me as a stranger. So we didn't talk much. I went straight back to the second year of the senior high school instead of restarting from the first year. That meant I missed many lessons. There were a lot to catch up with.
But he did catch up. He completed university and is working for a state company, all thanks to a big sister who was looking out for him. State media often reports on the gaming habits of young people. Concerns about the effect on education are taken so seriously. Last year, one of the most popular introduced age-related time limits on their app. If you are under 12, you can only get on for 1 hour, and not at all after 9 p.m. We heard Freya earlier, who's heavily influenced by the work of an actor. And that's a feature in this next story. Rowan Atkinson is known across the world for playing Mr. Bean and Blackadder. He, like our next contributor, has worked to overcome a stammer. As you'll hear, the next person speaks beautifully, but he was petrified of public speaking until someone helped change his outlook.
I met this beautiful girl, but just couldn't get up the courage to ask her out on a date. To my big surprise, she was the one who made the move and made me feel comfortable and relaxed. It dawned on me that for the first time in my life, I was truly in love. Later, when I was looking for a job, we saw advertised in a local newspaper a teaching post not far from where I lived. She encouraged me, but I dismissed the idea as unrealistic. In school, I always felt nervous and would begin to stutter when a teacher asked me a question. "How can I be a teacher myself?" she said with a gentle smile. "Did you know Rowan Atkinson had a stutter, and he managed to be an actor, not just as Mr. Bean, a real actor, I mean, who speaks perfect English. Perhaps stuttering is a blessing in disguise. I believe you'll make an excellent teacher." And that's the turning point of my life. I made every effort to overcome stuttering, and I have been a teacher for 10 years. But the most unbelievable thing is that the beautiful girl who changed my life has been my wife for 10 years.
Thanks to that contributor who found a wife and a new career. Our next story is also about a teacher, but it's not a happy one. The person who sent it is 29, and she's remembering someone who was a big influence in her life. She's recalling a time in university.
"My name is Sue. I want to tell you a story about my English teacher. When I had gone to the university, my English is so poor, and I can't even express myself using English. It made me so frustrated. Even sometimes, I've been crying aloud in the classroom. Someday in my first summer vacation, I think I can't stand it anymore. Finally, I have chatted with my teacher. He listened to me and so patient to encourage me to learn English."
She did better in her studies, all thanks to the patient teacher. She even got to see some of her teacher's creative writing, which he was hoping to do more of. Time passed, and it was after she'd finished at university she got some news.
"After I graduated, I have never heard from him. After maybe 1 year, I heard news from my classmates. He got sick and has gone already. He has died almost 10 years. I miss him so much. Now I have been learning English every day. Next year, I plan to go to the British for traveling. I think I still learning English because I think he will like this country if he's alive."
Here, she's setting out plans to travel in memory of her teacher who never got the chance. The next story includes an act of kindness, which went a little bit wrong. It starts with a family member and an injustice. In our contributor's words, it's about how a very special family member showed that he was alert to danger.
My grandpa was arrested for writing the wrong thing about the government at the time. Different time, different rules. But the truth is, my grandpa was wronged. He didn't even know how to write his own name. How can he write something horrible to the government? So the story was just told to me about 2 years ago by my grandma. He was in jail for 3 years when my father was just a kid. My granddad was a very good old man. No matter what happened to him, he was kind to children, to us, or to any other children. And I think that because of his suffering, he was alert to danger. So he saved our whole family once. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, my father showed his kindness to a stranger. He took the stranger back home for a night so that the guy could have something to eat and have a place to stay. But that stranger was a bad guy. He wished to steal and kill. At night, when we were sleeping, he tried to do some horrible things. My grandpa, he heard some noise and then he woke up. And he found that the guy was about to steal money from our drawer, holding a knife.
The tactic that her grandpa used here sounds very clever. He walked around and made some noise, pretending he hadn't seen what was going on. He made it obvious he was there, but at first didn't let the man know he was on to him. Then he started to chat with him. Here's how our contributor describes it.
So he just tried to talk to him, pretend that nothing happened. But my grandpa was worried that he might try something bad again, so he didn't sleep. Then the bad guy left early in the morning with no harm to my family, all thanks to my grandpa. And everything about him means a lot to me. Rest in peace, Baba.
That family owes a lot to their grandpa. Most people will know that there is a tremendous work culture in some sections of Chinese life, but it's one that has to be balanced against commitments to the family. We are about to hear from a real entrepreneur. Chris has made his way in business, but he wanted to do it his own way.
My parents were born in the 1960s in China in a village with almost no education background, but they worked hard to make sure at least I had enough to eat. The open policy in the 1980s brought them an opportunity and they managed to open their first restaurant. There were ups and downs, but the family business managed to keep things running. During these years, I have been completely isolated in my childhood with no parents around. And my conflict with my parents started when I first left for the UK 14 years ago. After 8 years on my return to China, the different values drew us apart. Having obtained 2 degrees in the UK and worked on various jobs, I was so determined to pursue a life of my own interest and passion. And this eventually resulted in my exile from my family. I would not give in to the family business pressure and packed my belongings and went to Beijing alone. Having left this country for too long, I felt the reverse culture shock and huge pressure, financially and emotionally. I couldn't recognize the country anymore. I struggled for months before I found a job of my own interest.
Eventually, he had a big idea related to teaching English and online lessons for children under 12 who are based in China.
I quickly earned my fame in this industry. 3 years later, I decided to start my own company to straighten the twisted public perception on English education, to continue pursuing my passion in this field. My family and I didn't speak for almost 2 years, but having seen what I've achieved, the family war finally ended.
That's Chris, who left China to make his own way and eventually healed the rift with his family. This is The Response, China, on the BBC World Service. Stories from citizens in China. No studios or reporters, just recordings made on a smartphone in response to a post on social media. We've just heard Chris making a splash in business. Here is Molly. She's at the start of her career, and she's not finding the world of work so easy to navigate.
My name is Molly. My story is not positive because I am confused about my future even though I am 27 years old. After I graduate, I always have the feeling that I am mentally allergic to the grown-up world because the rules and logic in a company or in the society is really different from that in school. I am timid, but I always work hard. In Chinese school, it doesn't matter if you are timid. Your teachers would give you extra chances. That's why I didn't have a habit of competing for something. But in society, it's really different. I'm not from an affluent family. My parents supported me to Hong Kong for my master's degree. I major in translation and interpreting. I can't complain. My parents have already gave me the best education they can afford. The happiest time I had was in Hong Kong. I felt I have possibilities. I thought it would be natural and easy to get a job in an international organization and work as an interpreter. But after I graduate, I realized that the interpreting market is cruel and difficult. In Shanghai, I work as an editorial assistant. Editorial assistant is an entry-level job, and many people in the company had a doctor's degree, so somehow they regard editorial assistant as someone who is stupid. You would have to compete or fight for attention and recognition from our boss. I'm not used to it. It's not enough to work hard. You should let others, especially your boss, know how you work. I am disappointed in myself because I think I will never be an attention seeker and very confidently tell everybody how much I contributed to work. Looking forward, I hope I could do more part-time jobs and could rent a better apartment, eat better food, and more importantly, I wish I could see a little hope of dream come true.
That was Molly. Those last two contributions show that while the world might view China as a business and industrial powerhouse, the people who make up that workforce are struggling with the same doubts and insecurities as the rest of the world. Earlier, we heard a recording about the impact of bipolar affective disorder. We returned to a woman facing the future with bipolar disorder. In her message to us, she said she can feel like the mythological figure Sisyphus, constantly pushing a boulder to the top of the mountain and watching it roll down. The cycle of difficulty at work and then needing a new job takes its toll.
During this repeated process, I gradually find myself kind of forget what hope really is. The look of it, the touch of it, the colour of it, the smell of it, completely lost to me. So, my hope for the future is to re-obtain the ability to form hopes. I came from a family which is not a very nice one. My father is a control freak, tries to make me disclose every microscopic aspect of my life to him. So I've developed some kind of mental illness, carrying this unhealthy mental psyche into my working arena. I just find a further image in everyone around me. The messages that I receive from the outside world are never positive, so when I'm bumping into some really tricky situations, I never fight for them. Students make a complaint, let them do it. Bosses fire me, okay. It's not because I don't want to fight for my right, it's because I don't see a point of it. It is because I have this fundamental determined belief that it is doomed this way because I don't see any hope in it. And, of course, this is fatal. Because gradually I will lose my stamina and enthusiasm. That's why I'm recording this. Trying to change the situation and re-obtain the ability to form hopes.
We've been in contact with this contributor. She's healthy and well and told us that she wanted to talk about bipolar disorder to bring attitudes to it out of the dark and into the light. Our final clip combines the world of work with the power of imagination. It's a memory from childhood, and it's about a woman who works very hard, but still finds the time to engage her daughter's imagination. It touches on long working hours, which are part of a big debate in China. In 2016, a researcher at Beijing Normal University found that the average Chinese worker puts in between 2,000 and 2,200 hours each year. But now, labor experts in China are arguing that reducing those hours is better for productivity in the long run. Here is the story.
When I was young, I still remember my mom was sacked by her company. And after that, she had to work very hard to maintain our family. Maybe she just have 3 or 4 days a month to rest. I still remember I said to her that I want to live on a boat, and she remembered it. And one day on her day off, she said, well, today we'll have our day on a boat. And I said, how? And she just put some newspapers on the ground, and she cooked a very fantastic meal for me. And we just sat on the newspaper and pretended that we were having a tasty meal on the boat. And I still remember I said, wow, such a big fish. And my mom said, yes, such a dangerous big fish. And I still remember my mom's optimism, and I thank her for her support in my life.
A story about a special mom here, working hard, but finding the time to create some magic for her daughter.
Well, we certainly hope that you enjoyed this special edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International, a program that we called The Response from China. And we're going to be working on a future edition of that again in the near future. If you have any comments or questions for us, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is very simple. It's pcjmedia@gmail.com. Once again, pcjmedia@gmail.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. Thank you, and bye for now.